Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. How you doing? It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I sat down with Willie J. Healy. Willie's about to release his album on Yellow Records, and I couldn't have been more happy to sit and chew the fat with him. We have a good chat. We talk about growing up, we talk about school, all the usual stuff, and when it gets to the song about clubbing, we've got a very, very unique answer for you. So you're going to really enjoy this. Before we get on with this episode, just quickly, big thanks to Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. Massive thanks to 76 for producing this podcast. Also, thanks to Tim for facilitating this interview. Also, if it's your first time listening to this podcast, then why not have a look in the archive when you're finished, and because there's about 150 episodes now with some of your favourite musicians, actors, comedians, DJs, producers. So go and have a little look in the archive and I'm sure you'll find something there you're going to enjoy listening to. If that's not enough, I also have a Patreon page where each week I put up standalone episodes over there as well, so you can go and get some more stuff for your ear holes there, and by doing that you also support the podcast. So yeah, you can find out about all of this at offthebeatentrackpodcast.com, and if you can find us also on all the social media outlets, and so we put up lots of quirky little videos and bits and pieces over there as well. So yeah, give us a like, love, share, retweet, all of that stuff. Anyway, let's get on with it. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with Willie J. Healy. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing. www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year, and they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music, and they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All of the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk. Official sponsors of Off the Beaten Track podcast. Let's get back to that podcast. It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. he'd make stew with him. Okay, welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. And sitting opposite me today via the means of Zoom. Hello, Willie, you all right?
Yeah, very well, thanks. How are you?
Good, good, good. I should introduce you properly. It's Willie J. Healy. appreciate your time today, mate.
Pleasure's all mine. Thanks for having me on.
So I'm going to ask you, before we get onto the playlist, have you been dealing with lockdown as a normal person and as a creative?
It's been, pretty good on the whole, I think. I've had my moments. It seems to be one week I've felt really good about things. You know, I've been like started running again, started painting fish.
Specifically fish?
Yes.
Pictures of fish or painting actual fish?
Exclusively paint.
Nice.
This week I'll be just miserable and bored and not quite sure what to do with myself. But on the whole, pretty good. I literally just moved to Bristol before everything went into full lockdown. And thank God I got all of my home recording stuff in time, because I think if I wasn't able to feel like I was being productive, I probably would have got depressed or something.
Yeah. So have you been pretty proactive then, like with music as well?
Yeah, I've been doing as much as I can. I'm not sure if I've been as prolific as normal, but I'm not sure if that's just because I got more time and I feel like I'm not doing enough.
Sure.
But yeah, I've been trying to keep busy. I've been recording and writing and stuff. And past couple of weeks have been great because I've been able to have some, you know, like the odd person over to help me out on them, which I miss that a lot.
Okay. Well, let's get on with a playlist. We always start with the first track has to be the song with the greatest ever intro.
Grover Washington. Sorry, that was my dad just calling me. Grover Washington Jr., Just the Two of Us, I think, for me.
Okay. Well, explain what you love about that intro.
It's just so sexy. It's just like the most sexy intro ever, I think, and it's quite I feel like it's very like doesn't really lend itself to the idea of everything needs to come in at once because of to get, you know, radio play and stuff like that. It's a bit of a slow builder, and the track itself, like in its full length, is something like 7 minutes long.
Yeah,
but it's an absolute classic, and for it to have a slow building intro, I think is iconic.
I get the sexiness. I get it. It's almost like, I mean, Grover Washington Jr. and Bill Weathers, I don't think they had sex. I think they made love.
Yeah.
That's music to make love to.
Absolutely. Very, very smooth.
Yeah, it's very, very smooth. Touched on something there when you mentioned radio wasn't a consideration when they wrote that. So I always like to ask musicians on here how much emphasis you put on an intro when you're writing, and are these sorts of things a consideration, like radio, the way that the music is so accessible and disposable in this day and age where there's, you know, constant nudges on Spotify and YouTube that if you like this, you will like this. You know, how much of that is a consideration when you're writing records?
Well, I think when I, like a couple of years ago, it would have been something I would have at least had in the back of my mind, because I feel like it's one of the industry classics, like things to do as a manager. And it's like, make sure the song comes in straight away or we won't get radio play.
Yeah.
So when I started out, it was something I was kind of aware of, and I would maybe try to get things kind of flowing earlier in a track. But more and more nowadays, I'm not thinking about that at all, really. And for me, the minute I start thinking about that stuff, it's like the magic's kind of gone, or I'm too aware of everything going on, and it's kind of just never really works. And I think with things like Spotify now, it's you know, it's like, in a way, like the new radio, getting playlisted on Spotify and things like that. And I must say, on those playlists, like, there was such an eclectic mix of songs that, to me, the ones that stand out are the slightly different ones and the oddballs.
Yeah.
That have the slow intros and stuff. So actually, I've been kind of trying to do the opposite lately, just thinking, like, how can I make this different to your three minute like radio classic?
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. Track two, Willie. I'm going to ask you the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you.
Has to be Philosopher's Stone by Van Morrison.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure why that one comes to mind. I mean, I remember hearing that one all the time. And my sister's actually here. She just come to see me in Bristol. I think we'd both agree that it was one of the songs that was always being played by my mum and dad, or maybe just my dad. And yeah, it's just quite a nostalgic song. And I think the type of song that it is, mixed with the age I was when I first noticed that I was hearing it, just makes me feel very nostalgic. And when I listen to it now, it takes me back to the first house I lived in Carton, playing with my Action Men on the stairs.
And what would that emotion be, Willie?
Just a good, like, kind of feel good. Like, we would always have the front door open and the sun would be coming in. It's just a good feeling.
Yeah. So, aside from Van Morrison, growing up, was there always music on at home?
Yeah, always. I've got two older sisters, so if it wasn't my mum and dad's CD collection, it was my sister's collection, which was consisted mostly of, like, early 2000s rap, Limp Bizkit, and then all the way to the smooth, like, Jagged Edge stuff, TLC and all of that. It was such a great period in, like, pop music. So I do have a bit of a soft spot for, like, smooth R&B.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was always on.
What about the folks? What did the folks play?
My dad really loves Neil Young and, like, kind of 70s rock, really. And my mum liked stuff like Erykah Badu, and she'd always listen to, like, Mary J. Blige live albums and stuff, which at the time I didn't dislike, but I didn't really understand. But now, like, recently I went home and she had it on, and I was thinking, that's such a weird little niche thing to be into, like, singing along to all of the... Like she even knows the chatter between songs.
Yeah.
They'd be like, New York City! My mum was singing all of the weird little bits that were just live. But yeah, so that kind of stuff.
So was you obsessing over music at a young age?
No, not really. I used to like sport more. I played a lot of football, and... music was just always on, and I remember me, Mill and Harry, my sisters, would always be singing along to our favourite songs without saying swear words. But it wasn't something I was obsessed with, I don't think. I think I was more obsessed with attention. Would we agree on that? I just liked attention. So if it meant that singing along to a song word for word meant that I got a bit more attention, then I would do that. But, yeah, I wouldn't say I was obsessed with music back then.
Okay. Well, we dig a little bit deeper into you as a young man on the next question, which is a song that reminds you of your time at school.
What was my track for this? I think it was Ruby Tuesday by the Rolling Stones.
I mean, what was going on at school to be listening to Ruby Tuesday by the Stones?
I know. Well, I was just... It was a golden period in history at school, because they had just, at my school, they'd just relaxed their rules on headphones in class, which might sound like a very insignificant detail, but to a 13-year-old, being able to legally listen to music in class without getting thrown out of a lesson was like, that was a life changer.
I mean, I'm old as fuck, so I'm now really, really surprised. Let's clear this up. You could listen to music in lessons.
Yeah. So
really?
Once you had taken on board the main kind of the teacher's part of the lesson and you were set to the work, you could put your headphones in and listen to whatever you wanted.
Mate, that's a game changer.
Yeah, maybe I went to a very terrible school. I don't know. I don't know if that's a global thing or if that was just at the school I was at. But I think we would all have our one headphone in subtly, and you'd sit kind of like this.
Yeah.
And obviously the teachers got so sick of it that they were just like, if it means you're going to shut up and get on with your work, then you can do what you want. Just listen to your music.
Yeah.
So, and at that point, Apple Music, it was still iPads, so you didn't have all your music on your phone. You had those little iPods, and he had I think it's the greatest hits of Rolling Stones. I can't remember which one, but it's basically got all of the bangers on it.
40 Licks.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
I thought that was just an actual album, a studio.
That ain't a bad album if it was.
Honestly, I thought they were like, obviously they are one of the greatest bands, but I thought that that was a real album and it had all of those songs on it. So I was just...
album right there.
Yeah. I would just rinse that all the time. But actually, funny little side note is that I didn't know about panning, the panning of recording. So I'd be sat in a lesson with one headphone in and I'd just be getting Mick Jagger, moving. And I used to think, this is such a crazy mix of this song. It wasn't until years later that I was cycling home and I would put both headphones in and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's come alive.
Like, what's that? Who's that? Sorry, go on.
Did you enjoy school?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I had a good time. Would say I cruised through school. I have very supportive parents. I'm the youngest of three, so it's kind of like anything I wanted to do, I got to do. My parents had relaxed by the time they'd got to me. And at that point, throughout school, I'd started boxing and seriously started it. Like, I was doing it for 6 years. So I did it all through secondary school, which meant that every evening I was out boxing. I trained every night and I never did any homework. I think it's a very cool parenting style. But I suppose others would look at that and say that's quite irresponsible. But I would just go and do boxing all night and then I would be knackered when I got to school. And I would never get in trouble for not having ever done any of my homework because I think the teachers had obviously just given up on it. And it was great. I really enjoyed school. I stopped when I, funnily enough, I stopped when I finished school.
Yeah.
And that's where music took over. But
do you miss it?
I'm still waiting for the moment where I'm like, oh, I really miss that. I haven't had it. Like, it was strange when I first stopped because it took up so much of my time that it was almost too good to be true. When I wasn't doing it, I thought surely there's something really hard I have to do.
Yeah.
But I do miss the training and I miss the kind of the being in the gym with people, the fun bit. But I don't miss all the hard work and the early morning runs and,
you were seriously dedicated then.
Yeah. Not eating what you want to eat and stuff like that. After a while, you just, I think that's why you see so many boxers when they retire, they just get really fat.
Yeah, yeah. Like a prince of the scene.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I've missed during lockdown is not being able to do any pad work. I miss it so much. It's like it's my one thing where I can switch off and nothing matters. You know, if I spar or pad work, it's my whole concentration is on that. And it's the only time. It sounds weird, but you probably understand when you spar, you don't think about anything else or you're going to get smacked around the chop. So you have to be in that moment, totally focused. And that is my pure escapism. And I don't get that from records. I don't get that from anything else other than that.
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. It's like, I think if you told someone that had never tried it, or never done it, they wouldn't understand. But it's kind of like meditation in a way.
Totally.
Because you're focused on, you're not really able to focus on one thing in particular either, because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So you kind of get to this zone where your mind is completely empty. It's quite amazing. And also, it's a totally solo mission, isn't it? You know, you haven't got to worry about anyone else. You're on your own, doing your own thing in there. And I think people always laugh because we've said it before, but it's like there's something really wholesome about being in a controlled environment, being punched in the face.
Yeah.
I think it's a really grounding experience to have.
100%. 100%.
You know, not that I'd want to be punched in the face while walking along the road.
No, that's different. That's very different.
If I agree to it and there's consent involved, then it's quite a good little reset.
Completely. Completely. So you mentioned earlier you loved a bit of attention. So was you a confident kid?
I was confident at home, and I would say quite shy. Like when I started school, I would cry every day when my mum and dad would leave me there. And I was the one running along every single window, waving them goodbye.
Yeah.
So I was confident at home in my own little universe, but I think when I got into kind of more real life situations, I was actually quite shy. And I think that's one of the main reasons why my mum and dad thought that something like boxing might be good for me, because I just didn't have much confidence.
Did that give you confidence?
Yeah, definitely. And it scared the hell out of me as well. I think usually I would try and avoid any type of activity that would scare me. So I played football initially, and I think I was just really shy and never really made any. When I first started football, I think my dad was just a bit like, "What's wrong with this boy? Like, if something doesn't go right, he cries in front of everyone, and like, you know." And then so he took me boxing, and that's exactly what happened. When I first went, I would cry. I couldn't do it, or like I was kind of scared. Yeah, I would throw up. I'd get so nervous I'd throw up every session. But after a while, it all went away, and I kind of became, kind of got used to it all. And I do think boxing definitely has shaped my life and is still something I use daily.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Track 4, first song you remember buying from a record shop.
I think I just started college. I'd started a diploma in Oxford doing music, and there was a HMV in the centre of town, and Bombay had just released their first album or second album. I Had the Blues by Shook Them Loose. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And I went in and I wanted to buy something. I didn't know what to buy, and all my friends like that, so I bought that. And I just remember playing it a lot.
Yeah, that's a good album. That's a good record for your first record.
It's quite solid, isn't it? Like, I wish it would have been something funnier. But I'm not, and now I'm not a massive, like, you know, I like that album, and I like Bombay, but I'm not a huge Bombay fan.
Yeah,
but at the time, I really loved it.
Yeah. So as an artist signed to an independent label, and how are you finding, and what is your thoughts on independent record shops now?
Well, I think they're amazing, and they're crucial to people, well, to everyone releasing music, really, like big artists and small artists. I feel like record shop is kind of independent nowadays. Like, I know you've got your Rough Trades, which are a bit bigger, but they do feel like a niche. I'm not sure how they... It's a bit of a miracle that they still exist in such a kind of digital time where everything is free. The concept of going and buying something that you can listen to timeless amounts of time, like, you know, you could listen to them thousands of times for nothing.
Yeah.
It's quite mad, but there's nothing like having a physical album.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. I hope they can weather the storm of everything going on at the minute.
Completely. I mean, how much have you missed sort of playing and stuff?
What, at home?
Gigging.
Like, we've done a fair amount of gigging over the past couple of years. Like kind of mixed with support tours and stuff like that. We've never been on a massive tour. Never toured in Europe yet, which is something I really want to do as soon as possible. But over the past maybe year, and obviously with everything going on with the lockdown and stuff, we haven't really toured much at all this year, and I probably won't be. It'll be like next year until we actually get to play.
Yeah,
I've tried my best not to think about it.
Yeah,
because I was hoping to be really busy this year.
Yeah,
like I'm sure like everyone else was.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to the question that I've been looking forward to asking you. The song that soundtracked your time clubbing.
Oh, yeah, I've never been clubbing.
Right. Okay. So this is a first. And you're probably one of the youngest people I've ever had on this podcast. So you should be knee deep in it by now. And when I say clubbing, that doesn't necessarily mean them kind of chromy kind of high street clubs. You know, it can be, you know, you a dirty, sweaty indie club in a pub or whatever. Like,
yeah.
No.
I think a bit like I would, you know, Michael Jackson isn't a good person to compare yourself to, but I've always just been, I was quite busy as a teenager. And then when I finished college, I started working for my dad, and I just never, I'm from like a town that's maybe, I'm making excuses now. There aren't any excuses.
It's all right not to like clubbing. That's fine.
My sister just said I'm not very cool, which is probably quite accurate. Like I just never bought into it, never enjoyed it. I went into a club once, actually. So I lied. I did go into a club once, and I was with all my old school friends. And I remember being in there for about 5 minutes, and one of them said, what would you like to drink? And I told him, and he went to get me a beer, and I left before he came back.
Why?
He went to, because I just didn't like it.
What didn't you like?
It sounds really bad. I didn't like the people.
I get that. That's fine to say that.
It's just the club just seemed to be full of morons to me at that point. Like now obviously I don't see things like that, but this particular club was very small town, local little club.
Yeah.
It's just like, I just didn't want to be there to the point where it made me feel depressed being inside it. And and after that, I think I probably wrongly assumed that all clubs were like that.
Yeah. It's ruined it for you.
It's ruined it for me, yeah. Actually, even when I was at primary school, there would be a Friday night disco and you couldn't get me to go. I just wouldn't go.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I didn't like anything like that, kind of any social dance-off event or anything, you know, like...
Are you a dancer? Do you like to dance?
I do like to dance, yeah, but I've never done it in front of anyone. Only on stage.
Brilliant. All right. Well, look, let's put that question to bed. Track 6, favourite song from an artist from your home county?
XTC, Making Plans for Nigel.
What a record.
Just blew my mind. I only found out a couple of years ago that they were from a place called Swindon, I think. Well, near Swindon. And the town I'm from is between Oxford and Swindon. So depending on how fancy you want to sound, you could either say, oh yeah, I like to live by Oxford, or you could say I live by Swindon.
Yeah.
And generally, like, if you say, oh, you live by Swindon, where, like, in that area, people go like, ooh, nice. I had no clue that they were from that area.
Yeah.
It's just a banger, isn't it?
It's incredible. Incredible band. Like, what a band. Do you feel like that your home county is something that defines you in a way then? Well, your hometown, I should say.
Yeah, I think it's maybe, it has, and I really love it. Lots of people from the town I'm from would probably talk down upon it and say like, oh yeah, the sooner you get out of here, the better kind of thing. But I've always really loved it, and kind of, I actually found it really hard to leave. And I think there's obviously something said for being from a scene in a city and, like, you know, being around lots of other people that are like-minded like you and want to do the same thing, and you're part of a community. But there's also something quite creative about not having that. And I mean, I'm sure there are other people playing instruments in where I'm from, but I never heard of them. And it kind of meant that you had to make your own fun and you had to do your own thing. And I never ended up kind of belonging to a certain sound. You know, you'd say like, oh, East London at a certain point would have had this cool sound going on, or Brighton had this thing. But, you know, Carton in Oxfordshire, the only sound going on was the sound of the RAF bass.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do think it shaped me and it's made me feel quite independent. And, you know, you get to dip into all these little scenes, and before you know it, you don't really belong to anything, but you feel like you're in all of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hope it has.
Hello. I've interrupted the podcast again, haven't I? Sorry, it won't take a sec. All I want to say is the songs that we're talking about in this podcast, if we can't play them, it's just because of the regulations regarding playing licensed music and such. So if you want to hear the songs, just go over to Spotify.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And search Off the Beat and Track podcast, and you can listen to all the songs because I've put playlists up for each of these. If you can't find it on there, I'll send links on all the social media accompanying each episode. So you've just got to press that one button and you can go through and you can enjoy all the songs that our guest picks. Anyway, I'll shut up, get back to the podcast. See you on the other side. Last question, Willie. A song that many may not know that you would like them to hear.
This sounds it really bad now. We're in
so first. Shameless, mate.
I would like people to listen to my song because I feel like many people probably haven't heard it yet and they might like it.
Okay, tell us about it.
It's a song that came together in the very cliche, like, oh, we all just got in the studio and started jamming, and then before you know it, it was done. Which I can't say for many of my other songs, but for that song, that is kind of how it happened. And I was in New York with producer, the guy that produced the album, Lauren Humphrey, and we had a bit of spare time. So he said, why don't I get some of my friends from New York to come into the studio and we'll just, you know, experiment. And little did I know that all of his friends are like amazing musicians. And we just started playing, and the tape started rolling, and then that was it. It was done. And I think that to me is something I've always wanted to do and something I've read about and you kind of dream of. And I think maybe when you're young, or if you've never been in a studio, you don't realize that that's not really how it happens all the time anymore. So yeah, I'm very proud of that song, and it makes me feel good when I listen to it.
It's out on Yellow Records.
So on Yellow Records, yeah, it's the first song on my album Twin Heavy, which is coming out in a couple of weeks. It's quite different to some of the other tracks, obviously, because we just got together and did it with no plans, and but it just felt like one that was undeniable and we had to get it on there. So
wonderful. If people want to find out more about you and where they can get your records and stuff, where's the best place to go, Willie?
Probably Instagram. I do have a website and stuff, so if you just search Willie J. Healy, you'll find something. But I predominantly use Instagram.
Wonderful. Well, if it's cool with you, when I put this out, I'll tag you in everything so you can spread the love. Willie, thanks so much for your time today, mate, and best of luck with the record.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
No worries. Take it easy, buddy. See you soon.
Cool. Bye.
There you have it. Willie J. Healy, the first person that's never been clubbing. Well, sort of has been clubbing to the point where, yeah, I'll have a pint and then left. And also, as I mentioned, like one of the youngest guests we've probably had on the podcast. And so you'd imagine, you know, clubbing would be rife. But no, love it. I love these unique answers and, somebody that wants to do their own thing. Really interesting. I got excited when boxing came into the conversation, and lovely to hear some of the things that he learned there have shaped him and stay with him to this day. I find that sort of thing really interesting. And go and support, independent labels, artists and record shops. So go and buy Willie's record. And that's all from me, I think. Is it? Yeah, it is. Definitely. Right. I'm back next week. In the meantime, why not head over to www.offthebeatentrackpodcast.com and go and have a little rummage around the archive, see if there's some episodes you may have missed, or why not sign up and support the podcast on Patreon, where you get loads of other episodes and access to about another 100 episodes over there that have never been released to the general public. I'm going to take a breath and I'm going to go and have a cup of tea. I'll see you next time. Stay safe. Bye-bye. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I've butted in yet again. I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast, and it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcasts you maybe know about, but definitely about a load of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson, there's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes, so if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online, because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out. So go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well. Podbiblemag.com.
It's Off the Beat and Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. Me, Stu Whiffin.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.